Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to pay our respects to the saints. On Marketing Made Clear, we are truly thankful to be graced with the presence of one Raimondo Hunt, proprietor of Saintly Podcasts on In That Number. Let us pray that St. Raymond will impart his divine wisdom upon us. Amen.
Welcome to Marketing Made Clear. I'm your host, Will Green. Today's episode is a bonus episode which covers my recording of Ray Hunt, the host, producer, and all-round legend from the podcast In That Number. As with all bonus episodes, I did this bonus theme song, so I hope you like it. The episode will be structured with an intro, the recording itself, and then a bit of a reflection from me at the end, which I'll relate to the conversation and other things that might be of interest. So like I said, Ray is the host of the highly successful Southampton Football Club podcast, In That Number. Since 2018, Ray has published over 240 episodes. That's an average of just under one episode per week. In That Number is rated 4.6 on Apple and 4.8 on Spotify. It has a flourishing Discord channel, a fantasy Premier League, a prediction league, and there's a real sense of community within the In That Number fan base. Ray has interviewed the likes of Southampton and England legend James Beattie, plus other ex-Saints legends such as Jos Hoivelt, Dan Harding, Dean Hammond and Klaus Lundekvam, and then Rachel Panting from the Southampton's women's team. Ray has also interviewed presenters and reporters such as Ian Wilding, Jacob Tanswell and Carl Anker. Ray has even written articles published on the BBC website. He's a sports fanatic, and he follows all sorts of sports such as American football, baseball, basketball, and even my beloved Aussie rules. It's fair to say that Ray was bitten by the sports bug, and I must say, his passion is infectious. It's worth saying that obviously after this recording, Saints went on to win at Wembley, securing their return to the Premier League. And Ray talks to me about how he got into podcasting 6 years ago, partly to keep in touch with his friend, the Moscow mush, Kevin Milverton. The two of them quickly launched the podcast In That Number on a minimal budget. We reminisce about the time that Ray and I interviewed a former Southampton and England legend, James Beattie, and I made a joke about Matt Letizia that seemed to tread the line a little bit, as well as discussing some of the other big name interviews that Ray has conducted over the years. I think Ray understated the amount of networking he does, probably because in his words, he would do it anyway, but it's not easy to secure the kind of calibre of guest that Raimondo has secured for In That Number. Ray talks me through the process of preparing, recording, editing and releasing an episode, and he even shed some light on the makeshift studio that included some equipment from Guitar Hero when they first launched. Ray records his episodes on Skype, and we talk through some of the different ways you can separate audio to make it easier to record and isolate different channels to remove background noise. Ray produces In That Number on a podcast network called Sports Social, which adds adverts in to monetize the platform. We talk about the complexities of time and recordings as his co-hosts live in Moscow and Chicago, a scheduling nightmare. And then we also talk about competing with 15-year-olds for Facebook likes and aiming to continually grow the podcast organically without buying listeners. Ray puts me on the spot a bit about marketing advice for the podcast, so make sure you check that out. And later on, we go on to talk about the amount of advertising in sports and how overwhelming that can be. Or maybe it's not, because we're so used to it and we tend to ignore it. So how effective is that advertising actually going to be? We cover the topic of explicit content, which I think is an interesting decision to make when putting a podcast together. I also like how open Ray is about being nervous about interviewing certain people. So if you're somebody that's prone to getting nervous about stuff like that, this might be an interesting listen for you. For a bit of context, because it's something I refer to, I used to be a tour manager for the Ministry of Sound, so I met quite a few well-known DJs and singers during my time, so I kind of got less nervous as that went on. I also worked as a steward and security guard at Southampton Football Club for a few years, so I met a few of the players back then and got to know the few of them quite well, and also developed a few close connections to the club. Anyway, on to the chat. So, Raimondo, how the devil are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on.
I think we have to mention the fact that we are a matter of days before Saints go to Wembley in the playoff final. So, yeah, our mood's going to be very dependent on that in midweek. So I thought I'd get this in before that happens.
That's a very wise choice, because I often find my mood is determined on how Saints do. But yeah, I had a nice day off today. A nice chance to prepare for everything for this weekend. But yeah, just a busy week ahead, of course. And yeah, pretty big game coming up. The city's expectant. And yeah, my nerves are all over the place. I don't know about you.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that there was such a togetherness of that last game that we had at home. I mean, that was amazing.
That was incredible. I've never seen a scene like that, especially in the fan zone beforehand. It was incredible. A stressful week in the build-up with the ticket sales and stuff like that, like virtual queues. I don't know if you've had any trouble getting tickets and stuff, but yeah, I was one of the lucky ones. So yeah, I shall be there at Wembley, and I shall also be expectant. And lots of people from the Discord channel as well will be there, so I hope I can bump into a few of them across the day.
That's really nice. I've been seeing that, people popping up saying where they're going to be sat. And I should probably give a shout out here to my mate Jav, who has single-handedly got me tickets for the home leg of the semi-final and tickets to Wembley. So he's a good guy.
Wow. Keep him on board. Yeah, great job.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so as I said in the intro, you're into your sixth year of the podcast. So kind of thinking right back to the beginning, how did that come about? What kind of drove you to start a podcast?
Well, I just want to say as well, thank you for that intro. It made me sound very important and quite impressive, actually. I was impressed listening back to it. So, yeah, thanks for that. But, as you said in the intro, I am a sport nerd, and I drink in as much as I possibly can. I watch a lot. And this was at the end of the 2017-2018 season. I was listening to a lot of sports podcasts in particular. And I'm a big fan of New York Rangers, the National Hockey League.
Okay.
So I found a show called Blue Shirts Breakaway. So a big shout out to them. I got friendly with the host of that, who turns out he also follows Saints. So, you know, a perfect match for me. A Southampton fan living in New York, it just seemed, yeah, a match made in heaven. And I thought, you know, a podcast would be a great way to channel my enthusiasm. And I decided to, you know, bite the bullet and just go for it. And I reached out to a very good friend of mine called Kevin. Mm. We grew up together. We lived six houses apart. We went to the same schools, but then he moved to Moscow. Obviously, we didn't chat as much, and that was a problem. But this was a great way to get us chatting every week and stay in touch and talk about, you know, Saints on a weekly basis. And that's what we did. And this was around, I want to say, June 2018 at this point. And we were planning to start the show, I reckoned, maybe January 2019, halfway through that season, to really give us a chance to, like, plan, you know, prep and make it as good as we possibly could. But that didn't happen. We went right at it at the start of the season. That was August at the start of that season. And we've not stopped since. And it's just been, yeah, it's been great.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, I think this is kind of, you have to say, it's kind of before the biggest movement into podcast happened, which has been the last few years. I think podcasts have really, really come about. So it's kind of a bit ahead of the time, I think.
Well, I think when we started, there was only like two Saints podcasts out there. So, of course, we reached out to them and said, this is what we're planning to do. We don't want to step on any toes. We just want to do our own thing. And since then, there's been loads. I mean, you get the YouTube channels that come on, and people, you know, take their cameras into the game and do like commentaries on the game. And they do like shows, pre-shows, after shows. And yeah, it has become massive. But luckily, we're still standing in it, and we're still enjoying it, which is the important thing.
Those shows are only really seen in the last few months. But it's quite interesting. It's like showing a fan's perspective. And I sometimes find myself watching them and wondering why I'm watching them, because I'm like, I went to that game as well. But, you know.
Yeah. You still have to find out from what other people are feeling about things. And that's what I always do. I mean, we're friendly with a lot of them. So we send each other messages all the time and, you know, to see how they felt. And yeah, it just helps us with our research and everything. So.
So we're both the same age. I think that it's something that I've been talking to some of my mates about, that, you know, you go back 10, 15 years and we were going to a lot more games, going to the pub beforehand. It was a whole day kind of activity. You know, then you have families and you have, you know, the rest of your life gets in the way. And you don't necessarily do that. I think that you can then miss that kind of social aspect around football. And what I've found personally is that, you know, listening to a podcast like In That Number helps to kind of fill that little void, as it were.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know if that's something that you found, you know, because obviously if your mate moves out to Moscow, keeping in touch is quite difficult. Whether that's helped just kind of, you know, keep something going or...
Not at all. Not at all. I find it easier, actually, because we do text each other, even if it's not about the pod or, yeah, you know, if it's just, we're just talking about Saints, and we text each other two or three times a day sometimes. And it's it is great. But the only thing I will say is about, you know, when you're doing something about a Saints podcast and you are taking notes during, especially away games, what I don't travel to a lot these days because, like you say, life gets in the way, work and family and stuff. You do feel like you're taking notes a lot more on matches, yeah, and it kind of like does take the enjoyment out of games sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it depends what the game goes like, I guess.
And it also depends on how the game's going. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I think like for the episodes that I've been on, I definitely watched the game in a different light. I didn't want to be kind of going, what? When somebody says about a certain event in the game, you know.
So, must have missed that, yeah. Oh, and that happens to me all the time.
Yeah. No, it was good, though. I've really enjoyed the experiences of coming on, so thank you for having me on there.
No, we love having you on.
What do you think you learned in the early days? You know, what do you think you kind of, what are the obstacles that you had to overcome, and, you know, how was that experience for you?
Well, again, it was when we first started, we threw ourselves right into it. We didn't know what we were expecting. As I say, we could have given ourselves another 5 or 6 months to actually plan and prepare. I didn't know. The only research I had was listening to other podcasts. So you could take inspiration from them. Yeah. But yeah, and it was just note taking and just making sure that you're getting the right notes that you need and making sure your stats are correct, because there's always someone that's going to be there and correcting you. But once you have a rhythm and you know what's successful when you're watching a game, then you can just stick to that, and then just, you know, you just get better at it from there.
Yeah. I mean, how long do you think it's like took to kind of find your feet?
Well, I think it's the identity of the show. Like, you need to figure out what you want to include, what you don't want to include. And we were still doing that after a year of podcasting. We were still trying to figure out how we wanted to come across, and we were still, you know, asking our fans, like, what would you want to see more of, what do you want to see less of, etc. And there were, yeah, so we took that into account. A lot of obstacles. I mean, we originally had away fans on, but sometimes it's so difficult to get that away fan, and time getting your timings right as well, and trying to arrange things. So we took the stress out of it somewhat, and we just wanted it to sound like, you know, two guys down the pub talking about football.
Yeah, I think I resonate with that, because that's what I'm saying about, if you're missing out on that culture, and one thing I should say, you've got a big following abroad. So, you know, if you're missing out on that culture, being in Southampton, going to the games with a group of mates and everything, then it is a kind of almost like a little bit of a replacement for that, I think.
I hope so. Yeah. Because, yeah, we've got a lot of fans that are over in the US. They're actually on our Discord channel as well. So, yeah, it's great to get their feeling towards it as well, like what they do on a match day, because obviously they can't go to St. Mary's or anything. They just have to watch it on the TV, and, you know, obviously not with people that are fellow Saints fans as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. So you've been going for 6 years, and like I said, you're pretty much averaging about an episode every week. Do you find it's hard to motivate yourself for that? And is it easier when Saints win?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Last season, you'll know, we finished bottom. We had, you know, the manager, Merrigan, I think we had three managers, didn't we? Not a lot of good was going on with the club. And especially when you have a double game week, which kind of doubles the misery. And then you've got to watch the match. You've got to watch it again. And then you've got to talk about it. And then you've got to edit it. Then you've got to release it. And it's just like, sometimes, yes, motivation is massive when it's a loss. But when things are going well, it's the complete opposite. So yeah, you've got to take the rough with the smooth.
Do you get more listeners when Saints win? Or does how well Saints are doing affect, like, the listenership for the podcast?
again, like the hosts, I think when the team goes on a run, you're more happy to talk about get back when you go to work and you talk about the game, don't you, with your friends?
Yeah.
And you want to hear what other fans have to say, and you can just like spread the love more that way. But we do see a spike in listeners when we're on that winning run. We had done this season.
Yeah.
And it's good to switch things up as well from time to time to keep things fresh. Like, you know, when you've been on, Will, I mean, we get more listeners as well. We get a little bit of a spike when you were on, which was nice. But actually, I'm going to have to bring this up. I don't want to, but when we lost 9-0 to Leicester, so many listeners that week.
Yeah.
Which is weird, right? Because who wants to, you know, glutton for punishment and all that? But yeah, we had a massive spike. Cause I guess people just want to hear why it went wrong and what we're going to do to fix it. But yeah, yeah, you do get that. You have a great run. Listeners go up. If you're middling, it's fine. And if you have a really bad result thrown in there, then people, again, they want to hear.
Yeah, I get that. I think when we have a really bad spell and when you're thinking, oh, what's going to happen? What's going on? I think, you know, you want to know the latest about what's going on. You want to kind of hear other people's perspectives and everything. But when things are just kind of plodding along and pretty average, you know, it isn't as interesting, I guess.
Maybe. I mean, maybe people just want to single out certain players and stuff. If that person's had a really bad game, I feel really terrible but towards that player. Let's hear what these guys have to say about him as well. And the same for if they're playing well, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, have you had any standout episodes that you think are more popular than others, or other than the 9-0?
2 9-0s as well, don't forget.
Stop it.
yeah, it's always the ones that we've had ex-players on. They stand out to me. I mean, the Klaus Lundic one was my favourite because, you know, he's such a lovely bloke and he opened up a lot about some personal things that he's gone through in his life, which was great. And I didn't even push him on it. It was just, it just all came out. We had just had a lovely, lovely chat and such a treat to chat to someone that you've grown up watching each week, you know, and it's amazing. And we had James Beattie on, and you know, because you were with me interviewing him and a chance to chat with him was great. And yeah, that was pretty special too.
Yeah, definitely. That was a really awesome kind of opportunity for me because he was that kind of era when my interest in Saints was at its peak. And not that it's diminished now, but it was just amazing to speak to somebody that was such a part of my life growing up.
Really. Yeah, and I originally fought with you, and when he agreed to come on, I thought, oh, Will would absolutely get the, you know, get a kick out of this. He'd definitely love this. So I reached out to you straight away.
Oh, thank you. No, I really do appreciate that. And it was quite funny, I thought. He's not known for being a really funny guy, but he was really funny.
Come across quite well, didn't it? The humour and the intelligence of him as well. We were all surprised at what an intelligent bloke he is. He's all switched on outside of football as well.
Yeah, he was quite happy to joke along because I was making a few jokes to you about ageist comments.
Yeah, I got the brunt of that, didn't I? But yeah, it was all fun.
I got pulled off though, didn't I?
You did, because I think it was like you said about Letiz.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I said we were talking about the last goal at the Dell, weren't we? And he said he's never seen Letiz turn that quickly. And I said, yeah, only into McDonald's.
Yeah.
And there was a point at which I couldn't tell whether he was really quite upset or not. And I was like, have I just ruined this?
No, I think it was kind of like he laughed along with it at first. Then he thought, hold on a sec, I'm going to defend my mate here. And then he's kind of like, it kicked in like, oh, I need to stand up and show that I did make an effort to defend you, Matt. But yeah, no, it was taken all right, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. Can I ask you what your kind of process is for recording an episode? And this is quite an open question. And the kind of things I'm interested in are, how do you go about planning an episode? And then what's your process for recording, editing? And, you know, has your approach changed? And microphones and then publishing and promoting all that kind of, you know, the whole process from start to finish of an episode. Would you mind kind of talking me through that?
No, that's fine. Well, when we first started the show, I stupidly said to my wife that, you know, I just record on a Sunday, a day after the match days. It will give me time to process the previous day and stuff, and we can just chat about it. There's no pressure, no time constraints. And it became so much more than that. And, you know, especially in the Championship this season with more games and a lot of midweek. So what I'd usually do, I mean, what now I start prepping on a Thursday. My day off of work. So I just gather up all the news from all my various sources in the week. And then I add new segments every single day, anything else that pops up, do some prep on our opponents that we're playing next. Then you go to the game, you watch the game, take everything you can. Early start on a Sunday morning, where most of the prep is already done, of course. Then I rewatch the games, take notes, usually spend the afternoon recording. But then it doesn't stop, of course. Then you spend, I don't know, if you spend around 2 hours recording an episode, the next day it can be almost double that for editing.
Yeah.
And then releasing and then promoting. And then you're right back onto the next match and the process starts again. So it's a much bigger commitment than I first envisaged. When you're losing all the time,
yeah.
And you know that your listeners aren't going to be as interested to chat about another loss. It does get difficult and the motivation again comes into it. But unfortunately, you know, we don't have any control of how the team performs, which is it. But yeah, that. And in terms of microphones, I mean, I've had a few over the years, I must admit, but like I said, we started much earlier than anticipated and I didn't even have time to get my mic. So this is a true story.
Yeah.
An exclusive for you. The first few episodes, I was using a mic from Guitar Hero with an old sock over the top as a pop guard.
Amazing.
That's true. See, I did it on a budget, but obviously I've updated and upgraded everything since. And I tend to use a headset now because I'm lazy and it just works well for me.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And so you actually record on Skype then?
I do. I use Skype and I use a separate Skype recorder and I use a backup recorder, which is what I believe you're using now.
Yeah, definitely. So with that, I think you were telling me earlier that with the Skype recorder, it splits it into two channels as well. So you can edit each side.
That's
background noise. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so if I'm using my separate Skype recorder, and then which I do, and then I use the Skype built-in recorder, also I hit record on that. So if anything goes wrong with the original recording, I've got this as a backup. But what the Skype recorder does, it records over two channels. So I'm in the left channel, the left speaker, and my guests and my co-hosts are in the right. So if anything's going on in the background of that down my channel, so that, like my cat meowing in the background, or there's a sneeze or a cough, or there's a car coming outside, then it's easy just to, you know, isolate that left channel and clear any background noise, get rid of it, and then, you know, you can, without having to delete a part of the track. But with the Skype one, the built-in recorder, it's just on one channel, so if you've got any background noise, then you don't want to be using that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it reminded me of when we did one of the recordings with Kev. And the background noise is of some sort of snowplow or something. You said that it's a washing machine or something.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it sounded like a washing machine, which I always tell Kevin and everybody else on the right-hand side, if you're not talking, then just mute your mic, because there could be a lot of background noise. Then it's easier to, not have to edit it out. Whereas me, I use a headset, so it's not as easy. I mean, I could just mute my side, but... I talk quite a lot, so I don't do my side. I just edit it out if I need to.
And then, so what are you using for editing then?
I use a program called Audacity. So I don't know what you're going to be using.
All sorts. I trained on Pro Tools. So I've used Pro Tools. But it's really like a music production platform. DAW, I think they call it, or Digital Audio Workstation.
Yep.
I use that, and then I've used Logic, even GarageBand. I've been doing quite a lot on GarageBand recently. GarageBand, you can put up into Logic as well. So,
yeah, I mean, I've to be honest, I've never used anything other than Audacity. Because as I've said to you before, sound is not really my thing. I'm not an expert on it. I'm still learning. We always will be. And I just find that I found something that worked, and I've stuck with it, and it still works. So,
yeah. Definitely. I mean, I have tried a few other bits. I've tried this kind of online platform called Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't, no.
So basically you upload the audio file and you edit it from the transcript. So you edit, if you want to edit certain words out, you just edit the words out, and you can use AI to take out some of the gaps. You can use AI to take out like filler words, like ums and all sorts.
Wow. But
it can be a bit overkill sometimes, and it cuts bits out which shouldn't be cut out. So if there's any words that end in an or an it takes them out. so bum would sound like but, because it goes a bit overkill. So it's good, but it's not quite great yet.
Not quite there yet. No, yeah. That's fine. But editing's not my passion. I'll be honest. I'm not great with sound. As I said, I'm not great with editing. And you do encounter a lot of issues with it, inevitably, I guess. I mean, for instance, I mean, we record around 1 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon. My co-host, as I mentioned, Kevin, he lives in Moscow. So they are 2 hours behind sometimes 3, depending on the time of the year, obviously. But And then if we've got a third host who lives in Chicago.
Tim.
So he's 6 hours behind. So there's a logistical nightmare right there. And the problems that you encounter with that is not only getting the time sorted, because, I mean, it's like 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning for Tim, afternoon for me, and early evening for Kevin. But, of course, with that, it comes with delays as well. Like if you're on a Skype call with someone, there's inevitably there's delays. And, yeah, as you've mentioned, all the ums and ahs. But if I'm honest, Will, I leave a few of them in because I think it makes it sound more natural. You're having a more natural conversation and, you know. But you just get better as you go along with it, and then you discover new things all the time, yeah? And as I said, 6 years down, and I'm still learning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting better at that. I can only apologise for the ums that I brought to the podcast. I'm working on it.
Do you know what? It wasn't that bad. You think it was, but Kev's worse.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't actually that bad. I do it all the time. It's like when you're editing and you hear yourself back and you think, oh, my goodness, why did I say that?
Yeah.
So many ums and ahs, but yeah.
I was on Anna Webb's podcast and I listened to that. And when I was talking about the topic, which was the environment and the environmental impact of this, that, and the other, and I was referencing a study and I was referencing loads of different bits of research, that's when I was at my worst because I was just thinking so hard all the time about what I was trying to talk about and I just didn't want to make a mistake.
That's the problem, isn't it? Do you find that you write your notes down word for word, or do you just do bullet points?
Well, it depends. When I'm actually recording the podcast, the full podcast, I write it down word for word now. Mm-hmm. When I'm just kind of covering a topic and having a discussion, then it's more bullet points.
I mean, I have to say, when we did start, I was writing everything down word for word, but I found it I cut more time, just put bullet points, and then again just kind of ad lib it, and it makes it sound more natural as well. So and then you won't fall into that trap of just like thinking too much, I guess, and having time to say
no, definitely. So when you go to publish an episode, are you publishing direct to each of the platforms, or are you using a RSS?
An RSS, yeah, an RSS. They we use a podcast network, which is Sports Social Podcast. We use, so they give us an uploading thing, which we upload to, and then you can obviously put your adverts in and stuff from there. So yeah, it all goes through that. So they took the RSS, and so they have the full back catalogue of our recorded works.
You've been with them for the last couple of years, isn't it?
Last two seasons we've been with Sports Social, yeah. Mm.
Before that, were you still using an RSS, or were you doing things directly then?
It was an RSS still, but we were doing it more on ourselves, and we never had any adverts to add in. Where we are right now, you have to put an ad in every 20 minutes or so, but it was more independent then. And I think we were using a program called Buzzsprout, if I'm correct, which is a free thing. You just upload it to that, and then you can release it through that, and you can still obviously add it to Apple and to Spotify and wherever else that you are. You get your podcasts.
I guess the next point is then promoting it. So I know you're quite active on social media and Discourse group, which has got a lot of members and very active. Is that the kind of main things you do to promote it?
That's it. I mean, you say we're quite active on social media. Not as much as we used to be, I don't think. I kind of like stay away from social media if I can, but only if it's to do with the podcast. So we are on Facebook, we are on Twitter or X and all the other platform. So whenever we've released an episode, we just post our episodes on there and with the links if we can, and that's all the promotion that we do, which is where you come in, Will, because I'm sure you could give us a bit of a boost with that.
yeah Well, I think it's one of those things that it's all about this kind of process of segmenting, targeting, and positioning. And I have talked to a few people about this when it comes to podcast. It's all about who are you trying to reach, because obviously Southampton Football Club's a family club. It encourages a lot of different diverse backgrounds. And so my thought is, who is the podcast appealing to? You know, who are you trying to appeal to? Is it, and obviously there's a Gav jail free answer there, which is everyone. But from a marketing perspective, that's not a good answer. It's a better answer to kind of have an idea of who you're trying to appeal to. So that is finding your segment, your group of people that you're trying to target with it. And then the next stage is then actually targeting them. So what kind of social media are those people using, or what kind of other media are those people using? Say if it's they all read the Daily Echo, can we get in the Daily Echo to be seen in there? Or say that they all use Facebook and don't use Twitter, then don't use Twitter, just focus on Facebook, you know?
Mm.
And then the last thing is the actual positioning. And positioning is all about what are you trying to be, or yeah, what are you trying to be to your segment, your target audience? And then that comes into everything, even the podcast itself, you know, the decisions that you make about the kind of content that you cover within that. If you're targeting a certain audience, you might want to focus more on the family focused events that there are around the club. If you're targeting another one, you might want to publish the fighting spots before the game.
Yeah, that's always a good one. Yeah, so basically you want to be more concentrated on a set field. Yeah, you're saying that we need to focus it on a certain age group, or and when you promote certain episodes, is there a specific time in which to release it on social media? Does that make a difference?
It does. Yeah, everything like that makes a difference. Whether you can get the research or not is another thing. You know, one kind of element would be to carry out some sort of market research to when you decide who that segment is that you're going to go after, you then need to find out how to reach them. And that might be conducting some form of formal or informal market research, speaking to people that fit that kind of specification, let's say,
yeah,
and find out, if you were going to listen to a podcast, you know, what kind of media would you hear about that? What are you looking at? How could we reach you? How could we find more people like you?
But I suppose it's different for everybody though, right?
It is. So that's why you can't just ask one person. Mm. You ask, you know, you're looking for a trend when you're asking a much wider group of people about what they're trying to do. So you can find out then how to improve your targeting. But you might also put in with that, like how to improve your positioning. And you know, like I was talking to you then about where a podcast fits in my life, in that I'm missing that community aspect that I had when I was a season ticket holder. It's not possible for me to be a season ticket holder anymore because of time constraints. And so podcasts are kind of replacing that kind of sense of community, so that connection with the club.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just me. But if you were to find that was the trend with either your listeners or your prospective listeners or anything, then you can kind of like lean on that, and maybe you can even start to put together, I know you guys did that you were kind of championing a meetup over in the US in Chicago. You know, that kind of thing is, you know, really powerful. And you might want to say, are you guys the podcast for people abroad?
I kind of like to think that we are, because we're the only one with an international co-host. So
yeah, exactly. And you know, so you might want to lean on that more. I know there's supporter groups in Australia and all sorts, really. You see them on Facebook, on Twitter. And so you might want to strengthen that as your aspect and reach out to those groups and engage them and maybe get them on the podcast and, you know, be that kind of international version.
That's a very good point. I think I might have to go down that avenue, Will.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's kind of how I see it. But you could go into a lot more detail here. And we're talking about podcasts at the moment, but I'm usually talking about any kind of business. It's really, really important to understand the consumer or the customer. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to understand them, their motives and everything. And the best way to do that is to do some form of research.
Okay.
So anyway, it's not all about me, it's about you.
Well, I'm all over that. That's good.
Yeah. How would you rate yourself out of 10 in terms of marketing?
11.
Yeah?
No. Obviously not. No, there's always more that we can do. And as I say, it's a minefield for me. Even social media is as well. You just get so many vile comments on social media that you just don't want. You want to kind of take yourself away from certain situations like that, especially as you know, some of the players we're experiencing this year, as you know.
Very not cool.
Exactly. Right. And, you know, if you put something out on Twitter that someone doesn't agree with, they're going to let you know. And that it's that sort of thing that makes me scared to you know, promote as much.
Yeah, I get that. And there's a certain amount of doing a podcast and, you know, I've got a website as well. And, you know, putting yourself out there, that you kind of have to go into it with thick skin. But I'm saying that, you know, some of the stuff we're talking about, Gavin Bazunu and Will Smallbone, that was just not acceptable.
No.
It really disengaged me in a way of some aspects of being a fan. You know, it's like, I don't want to be associated with that. I think there is like some association with football fans that goes right back to the 70s as to what a football fan is. And I know that both you and I, and I'm assuming Kev as well, don't align with that. You know, we don't relate to that at all.
Absolutely.
But it just kind of reinforces that negative stereotype of a football fan when that kind of stuff happens, I think.
Yeah, we don't want to see any of that. But at the same time, you know, we have got a voice on this podcast. You do have to say if you're not happy with a certain player's performance. And there's a line, isn't there? There's a fine line. And if you cross that, then people usually do when they go on social media.
I just don't like it when somebody is... It doesn't matter if somebody has a good performance or a bad performance. They are just kind of the problem regardless. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I know that we've had discussions about players like Gavin Bazunu, because you will praise him when he has a good game.
Mm-hmm. Sound fair. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. So that you have that kind of balanced view, but that's not the same for everybody.
No, people, if we're talking about Gavin Bazunu, if someone like him is having a bad game, yes, he's going to get it from everybody on social media. If he does have a good game, those people will then shut up. They will not say anything about him. That's a positive. They will just only speak when there's a negative to speak about, and that's not on.
No, I agree. So with your rating of 11 out of 10, have you tried anything to promote the podcast that you think it just hasn't worked?
Wow, I think it's annoying when you see like 15-year-old kids or whatever go onto Instagram and they put up a report of the latest Saints game. You know, everyone's each to their own, they can do that, and then they get more likes than what you would have. I suppose that I just want to see more of an upward trend, that it's going somewhere rather than just getting to a point and then slipping back down again and then getting back to the point you were before. I want to see continuous movement up, which hasn't happened in any of our social media accounts.
Okay, question for that on the 15-year-old that has more likes. Who do you think's liking his post?
Probably his friends. And I don't know. I mean, you might be able to tell me this, but do people actually buy fans? Do they buy likes?
Can do that, yeah.
See, ours is all organic. We've grown this organically, and we have not done anything like that. We've not bought an ad. We've not, bought listeners, bought likes, bought followers, nothing like that. This is all genuine people that we like to think like us for what we do and what we have done.
It's about 100% authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. But is it possible to do that and to get massive?
Well, so to go back to the 15-year-old, do you think that...
By the way, there's no specific 15-year-old. I was just using that as an example. So,
But it's a great example. What percentage of his friends are on social media?
Yeah, I imagine it's quite a lot. I imagine he's probably saying to his friends and family, like, give it a like. And you see that they've got like 10,000 likes on one post that was just like slapped up in 10 minutes. And you work hours and hours on yours and you get like 10.
Yeah. So I think it's all about perspective, because what are those likes leading to? If he starts a podcast, does that mean he's going to have a massive listenership? Like, probably not, but you never know.
You never know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If he gets all his friends and stuff to listen, then.
So a complete change of topic, really. But when I was looking back on the episodes, you know, I was looking at episode frequency and kind of like, it's amazing. It took a long time to get back to the first episodes that you published. But one thing I thought was really funny was the different episode titles that you came up with based on the show. You had Dismayed in Chelsea.
Yes.
Your Enthusiasm, which didn't need to be changed and was pretty self-explanatory. Probably a Nathan Jones era one. Men Behaving Badly, or Men Performing Badly, actually, sorry.
Yeah, Performing Badly, yeah.
Hammers. Dyshard.
we had a lot of fun with those. It was unique, but it required a hell of a lot of work, and it wasn't just the titles of the episodes, it was the artwork for each individual episode also, which was great. One year we did movies, and then the next season we did TV series. So we just had like a list of the clubs that we'd be playing, And we, you know, we just went down like looking at TV series that would fit for them, would fit for that. And then we had some great help from a guy called Connor, who did all our photoshopping for us.
Okay.
It was amazing, massive help. But he stepped aside, and we really haven't found the time or the support to be able to be in a position to do that again. I wouldn't rule it out in the future. But like I said, it's a lot of work, and you can check them all out. It's something we've done. I liked Coastbusters when we went up the coast and beat Brighton. obviously, a lot of the ideas would hinge on whether you win or lose and how the result goes. I mean, when we played Wolves and we wasted a lot of chances at Wolves, we called it Chances with Wolves. And then we went up to Newcastle, we beat them, and we called it Toon Raider. You had a dodgy decision with the VAR, and we called it VAR Wars. You know, a lot of it does hinge on how the result goes. So you have to take that into account. But yeah, there was a lot of planning pre-season, and then you obviously have to get the right title for the right episode, and then you have to find the artwork for it.
I was going to ask about artwork. So you haven't got the skills to do that yourself?
I certainly do not. I'm not very good at photoshopping either. So sound editing, photoshopping, no, not for me.
I tell you
and,
what,
and apparently marketing as well.
No. I think there's a interesting online platform that you might want to look at, which is called Canva.
Mm-hmm. I have looked at it. Yeah, it's it makes me go crazy.
Oh, okay. It's quite I find it's quite a good one for if you want to put together a little bit of artwork or whatever.
We do artwork for our shows, and we do artwork for certain things on our Instagram. That's where we post a lot of our pictures. And we have a lot of fun doing that as well, which is good. So I wouldn't stray away from that. It's just, you know, the individual. I would love to get back to certain topics of TV series and movies and stuff like that again in the future. But again, it would rely on somebody else doing the artwork for us.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's someone out there that will do it,
maybe
from this podcast. So if you want to do it, like, please do it.
please get in touch. If you're very, very good at that and you don't want to, and you want to work for free, and please
but for experience.
I'm not really selling it.
There was an event which went absolutely viral. It was in Botley in Southampton. There was an event at a pub and they were asking for a face painter for free, and they kind of put this post up and said about face painting, and then the National Organization of Face Painters or something got in touch and was like, I assume you're going to pay this person, and it was like it kicked off. And then this small little event in Botley got absolutely tens of thousands of the face painters of the UK came down on them.
Wow.
To condemn them for what they, and I just think you never know what's going to come out of the blue.
Oh, goodness me.
On my podcast, it's usually just me. Obviously, this is a little bit of a different episode, but In That Numbers are more of a forum, and you've got a number of different people to try and control. How do you kind of keep things on track?
Well, I mean, I'm lucky to work alongside some funny, clever dudes. And so we just got Tom from In The Channel. He writes a blog called In The Channel. Go and check it out. We got him on board more recently, and he's been great. And we've seen a spike with him too. So that's good. So it's easy to keep things on track, I always find.
Well, you know, I'm terrible with names. You have to keep correcting me because I end up calling Kev Stu or something.
You did. You called him Stu. Yeah. I don't know why, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know why. So, well, firstly, sorry to Kev about that. But I don't think I'd cope if I was you with the Tim and the Tom.
Which, do you know what? We've never actually had them on the same show together, which is strange, right? And people actually think they're the same person.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really good. I think Tim brings an amazing analytical kind of element to the show.
Tim's brilliant. Yeah, he's got so much enthusiasm for the football club. You know, coming from Chicago, he is all over everything. If I say to him, look, do you reckon you'll be able to get this sorted this week? Yeah. He's right on it. And so we give him, he does the away teams, the opponents every week for us. And he breaks them down and tells us how they're getting on and everything. And he runs with it. So his enthusiasm is right up there with me. He's great to have around.
I thought it was really good. Can't remember which game in particular, but he did a really good kind of insight into the away team. And just the context of this player arrived at this was the expectation about them. The level of detail that goes into that, I thought was incredible.
Yeah, he has his moments.
And obviously there's a synergy there with In The Channel and In That Number.
Yeah, there we go. We can jump on that somehow.
like a sibling. If you can't keep things on track, there's always editing.
Yeah, yeah. That's the bane of my life sometimes, honestly. It takes so long. And I wouldn't trust anybody else to do it. I mean, I have had people say that I can do the whole thing for you if you like. And I was just like, no, because I sound like an idiot there. I want that gone, and I don't like that. And yeah, it's all me. It has to be done by me.
Yeah, no, fair enough. So how did the whole kind of Sports Social thing come about?
Sports Social, they've been brilliant for us. I mean, we did have some companies contact us for advertising purposes. I mean, we've had Manscaped. Okay, we had Big Bobble Hats as well, to name a couple. But they were just like short contracts, and that's when we were in independent podcasts, which we're happy to do. I mean, I've got no problem promoting anything like that. And Sports Social just come along. They contacted us and they said, would you be interested in joining our network? We're a sports network. We want to become the biggest sports network in the world. I was like, okay. We had a video chat with one of the creators of it and got on really well. They aligned with us and we said, are we allowed to do this? And they said, yeah, we're not taking anything away from you. It's just we can keep you in our network and we sort out all your advertising for you. So we just put a gap in where we want an advert to be, and then, you know, they do the rest. So yeah, brilliant company. We just want to be with them until so they can take this to the next level, and they certainly have.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, and so all these opportunities kind of came to you then.
Yeah, I'm not, as I say, I'm not very good at putting us out there, hence why we have not got as many likes on social media as I would have liked. But yeah, they've all contacted us and we've been happy to jump on.
I think this is an interesting one that people have different perspective on. And if you ask certain people, they feel a certain way and other people feel another way. I've actually got an episode that I'm editing called Why Do People Hate Marketers? And I think it kind of goes hand in hand with why do people hate marketing? And in America, there's a different perspective, I think, because people go into, say, the coverage of a sports game expecting to be bombarded by adverts. But I was talking about how in a football game, you know, right from the kit, you've got at least one advertiser on the front of each team's shirt, but, you know, several other sponsors or whatever on the shorts and all sorts. I know we've got
sleeve sponsor, short sponsor, you've got a shirt, front of shirt. Yeah, advertising space everywhere now.
Yeah, you got the actual kit manufacturer mm-hmm. as well, if you think about that. Then when you're looking around the pitch, you know, there's all the digital banners and digital things. Certain stadiums have adverts going up the steps of the, you know, on the concourse. You have obviously the sponsor of the chairs that the players are sat on.
Yep.
Which you I think Sunseeker.
Dug out. Sunseeker were, yeah.
Yeah.
A long time ago, but yeah. I mean, you even got the sponsors taking over the stadium names as well, haven't you, to accommodate certain clubs.
And there'll be the, you know, the clock under the director's boxes.
Yeah, Rolex or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we allowed to say these? I don't even know. I don't even know. Other watchmakers are available.
Yeah, but they're probably not as good. no, I take that back and retract that statement. I just think from that sense, we are prepared to be interrupted in our viewing, but we kind of ignore it, don't we?
Most it is ignored, yeah.
You just ignore it, so you do wonder.
Subliminal,
kind of a good investment from people. But when you get that kind of advert in America, there's in-game adverts. Mm-hmm. Some of the coverage. I was quite shocked when I was in New York and that was happening. What's your kind of thoughts about advertising and monetizing podcasts?
Well, when me and Kev started the show, we made it as lighthearted as we possibly could and never take ourselves too seriously. We just wanted to have fun. And we said that we'd record if nobody ever listened because we'd enjoy it anyway. But, you know, at the same time, if you want more listeners and you want to grow the podcast, then absolutely it makes sense. And I've got no problem advertising, monetizing anything. If that's the way to grow, then do it. And that's exactly what we've done. So I can't say I'm against it.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to who that sponsor's going to be.
If it's, like I said, I mean, Sports Social, they do our adverts for us, but they do it based, I mean, if you listen to our show, if you click right from the start, there's a couple right before the show starts and they're all based on sports. It will be, you know, listen at very, very much wherever you are, it will be relevant to you. And again, we trust them to do that. But when we were more independent, we had Manscaped and we had, like I said, Big Bobble Hats as well, which is a local company. I've got no problem promoting and doing anything like that. It's all fine with me.
And I guess because that's a dilemma for me, you know, is where I go with it and the sponsorship side of things. And I think in the early episodes, my sponsors are going to be people that have helped me out along the way.
Sure.
Just as a thank you more than anything. So
I mean, I've got no problem sponsoring any local companies for free. I'll do it. If anyone wants me to read out an advert or something like that, I will. Yeah, I'll do it. I don't need to get paid for that. We can do that. It's not a problem.
I want to add some fake adverts into my podcast.
We tried that, actually. We did that a couple of times. I think Kev had some funny ideas about it, and I don't think people got it, to be honest. But yeah, it was. It did go. It went down well with us, anyway. Put it that way. But then we took.
I'll let you know if they go down well for me or not.
Yeah, do that. Yeah.
And the other thing I think I have a dilemma with is because I do want to bring like a certain amount of humour to my podcast, and
yeah, you've definitely got a problem with that then.
Yeah, because I'm not very funny. But I think my humour can be quite explicit. You know, it can be a bit naughty sometimes. And you've made the decision, obviously, that to keep swearing in your podcast, to make it explicit.
Mm.
What was your thought process behind that? Was it ever a discussion, or was it always just...
Well, I mean, we wanted to make it like mates chatting in the pub about Saints. And with football, it does get passionate, let's say.
Yeah.
So swearing is quite inevitable. When you're at a game, you try and temper it, but you don't, do you? And it's unique because the other Saints podcast, they weren't explicit. They were they cut out the swearing and they made it more a family show. So we tacked onto something completely different. We wanted to be different to the other ones. So yeah, we've always made it explicit, and there's always a tag on it.
Yeah.
And Kevin is a natural swearer. You can't get him to stop. Yeah. So if I were to cut the swearing, then imagine how much longer the edit would take me.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Putting the bleeps over and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've kind of taken the decision of mine to keep it clean, but where there's swearing, I'm putting bits over it and trying to kind of use some clever editing to kind of, you know, not ruin the authenticity of what's being said or anything like that.
Ow.
Well, there you go. You've just given me one.
So you can bleep that out and nobody's going to know what I said. So,
well, I'll put something interesting over it. And also, like I said in the intro, you've now interviewed quite a few different famous people, and we talked about the networking for kind of advertising, but how do you go about getting those people? How have those people come about?
We're in the age of social media, aren't we? So everyone uses it. Email messages, private messages, and, you know, you do it again and again, and hopefully something sticks. And once you get one, I think it becomes easier. And, you know, also I go to a lot of club events, and I take the chance to talk to them. I mean, you went to the quiz, I think, last year, and we bumped into Adam Blackmore. So there's opportunities like that. And I also went to another meetup where I saw Ricky Lambert and James Beattie. I spoke to them, got in contact with them through there, and said, and then we opened up, you know, lines of communication that way. But most of the time you miss. As I say, I have had a lot of ex-players on, but I've also, the amount of people that I've reached out to and been unsuccessful, I mean, you wouldn't believe, but yeah, you keep going with it still.
I would.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great for the listeners though, isn't it, to have someone on? And it's great for me personally as well, because you grew up listening, watching these players and stuff. So yeah, it's something that I will keep aspiring to do. I'm not going to stop.
If you could give me a top three of who you would love to have on the podcast, who would you have? And I've got one in mind.
I know who you're going to say, and I would probably align with that. I want Nigel Adkins, because he was at an era where everything was awesome with the football club.
Such a great, great guy. The funny thing, talking to Anna Webb, she's not really interested in football at all, but I was like, you've got to listen to Nigel Adkins and the way that he does social media. I'm a big fan of, and I just think he's a brilliant bloke.
He is, and I'd love to have him on. But again, he's active with in the football world right now, so it wouldn't really work. I think he's at Tranmere, so he can't really come on. I'd love to have Marianne Spacey-Cow now that she's left her managerial role, because I think it will be so good to hear her thought process. And she's one of the people, if you don't know who she is, she was the manager of the Saints women's team. But everyone that I've spoke to, when I had Rachel Panting on, I've wanted to try and get some insight into her, because I don't know what she's like in the dressing room. Like, is she a... Can you imagine her screaming and shouting if things aren't going well? Because I can't. Everyone says she's just a lovely woman, and I would love to have her on. It'd just be great to hear her match day routine and stuff like that. And I did want the Saints brass on, but we've crossed that off now off our list. They were great. They give us insight to what they do on a match day. And another one we've not been able to get, who's very, very active across everything that he does, is Franny Benali. He would be like my ideal my number one. He's just a lovely bloke. And Kenzie as well, to get her with him would be very, very special.
Well, the funny thing is, growing up, I actually knew the Benali family. They used to come over to the house, and I accidentally once swung a swing into one of the kids' faces by accident.
Ouch.
So, yeah.
So you've ruined that then?
Yeah.
Sorry. If Will's involved in that number, we're not coming anywhere near him.
Absolutely not, yeah. So do you get nervous when you're interviewing like a...
Oh. Yes, you probably know. I get incredibly starstruck. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I always thought it'd be something that would go when the older I got, but it hasn't. It's got worse. I mean, even when I approach these players, I'm like physically shaking because it's just they're heroes, you know. I remember as a kid, I went to the snooker with my dad, and I was down backstage, and I was hoping to get a glimpse of Jimmy White and talk to him and get a signature and stuff, and I see Jimmy White just walk down the stairs right next to me, and my dad was giving me an elbow saying, "There you go, there's your chance."
Yeah.
And I just froze. And he walked right past me. I had my mouth open and I never got a chance to say anything to him. And it was one of my biggest regrets because I still haven't done it. And yeah, it's just something that was when I was little, and I still get like that now. So that needs to go.
Yeah. I think that went away for me. I don't know why. Probably through the touring and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, a lot of other people. I mean, I saw Calvin Davis at the Saints under 21 game as well last season. I was with Kevin at AFC Totten, and he was there watching his son Sonny.
Yeah.
And he walked past, and Kevin was like, "Go ask him to come on the show. We'll have a chat with him." Yeah. And I was like, "Nah, he's here watching his kid. Just leave him alone." And I get like that too. And then as he walked past the second time, Kevin went, "Calvin," and he turned around and he nodded and went, "All right, lads." And we spoke to him, and it was because of Kevin that we had a chance to chat with him. And that was great. Yeah. But again, I was in the background just like shaking.
It's funny, when I was a steward, I actually spoke quite in depth to Calvin. It was to him and Klaus Lundekvam at the time about how Calvin had kind of come from Sunderland, and I was saying, "Oh, are your kids Sunderland fans?" And he was like, "Absolutely not." It was kind of quite clear how much he enjoyed coming to Hampton from Sunderland. Was a huge thing for him. He had a horrible time at Sunderland, and I think if you ever did get a chance to speak to him, that would be a big thing to talk about.
Yeah, again, he's active now, isn't he? He's with he's manager of Eastleigh now. He's doing his thing, and I guess it's kind of like similar to what Ryan Fraser's going through right now. Had a horrible time up in the Northeast. He's come down. He wants to stay, and hopefully we can get him to
stay. That would be really good. So I kind of have one main question for you. So as you know, I am starting a podcast. It's a marketing podcast, something a little bit different to a sports podcast. But I was just wondering if you have any kind of general tips for me in the early stages.
Don't use a Guitar Hero mic for a start with a sock over it. That's probably not a good thing. Although your setup looks pretty decent already, so you're already a few steps ahead of me. Listen, whatever you do, Will, you always make a success of it. So I'm positive you're going to be fine. You just need to be patient, I guess, with your audience and find an identity and stick to it, because you know what's going to work. You know how it's going to work. And yeah. So I say we've changed so many things early doors, and until we found a system that works. So if you can find something that works for you straight away, then yeah, all power to you.
Oh, amazing. No, thanks, dude. I really appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of it. That's everything.
Oh, wow.
That's all of my questions, and it's gone fast.
It has. I enjoyed that. I was a little bit starstruck for that as well.
Nah, shut up. Yeah. How long have we known each other?
2007 possibly.
But wow, it's coming up 20 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, never ever be starstruck by me. If anyone was ever starstruck by me, I'd send them to the nearest counselor, to be honest.
I'll do that. Cool. Thanks
so much, dude. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. All right, dude.
Right. Cheers, mate.
Lovely day. Bye.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints indeed. One of my key takeaways after speaking to Ray was the point about building a community around the podcast. I think most of us would expect that kind of community would be built on social media, in particular maybe Twitter, which is very popular with sports fans. It didn't really come through in the interview, but I know that Ray isn't a fan of Twitter's renamed X. Maybe I should have tried to tease that out of him a bit more. But I also feel that Ray, Kevin and the team have found a very good balance when it comes to monetizing the podcast through their relationship with the Sports Social Podcast Network. And on the side of Sports Social, it's clear that they are helping podcasters by offering a platform that they can not only publish from, but offers them the mechanism of monetization. Ray put me a bit on the spot there, so maybe my advice along the lines of segmentation, targeting and positioning could have been a little bit more refined. But sports podcasting is extremely competitive and there are a number of Saints podcasts, as Ray mentioned. But none of them have the kind of multinational input that In That Number has, with Kev in Russia, Tim in the United States, and even the half-Australian Mamba himself, yours truly, joining on the odd occasion. Then Tom from In The Channel, I think, lives on Jersey Island, recently joining on the podcast. And before you say, I was of course joking about fighting spots before the game, but you get the emphasis I was trying to put on knowing your audience and targeting them. I talked a bit about conducting research, which I think is very important. That's something I'll come back to, and I'll be asking for help from two of my wonderful siblings, Joey and James, who both work in the field of research. More on that in a later episode. One thing we touched on but didn't talk about in any great detail was some of the abuse that a couple of the Southampton players were subjected to on social media this season. Two players in particular, Gavin Bazunu and Will Smallbone, were subjected to some quite horrible abuse by individuals who I must say do not represent the wider fan base, nor do they represent football fans as a more general group. They just don't represent us. But these people feel that they have the right to abuse young men who are living and working in an extremely stressful circumstance, and they justify the actions because of the salary that the footballers are paid. It just doesn't add up. And I find this really apparent. Will Smallbone was targeted because he has alopecia, but we see way too much instances of racism, sexism, all sorts of other types of discrimination based on more obvious characteristics of a person. It's like calling someone fat or short or anything like that. People pick on the most obvious characteristic of a person. And I truly believe that comes from a place of insecurity, emotional unintelligence, and I suppose it could be somewhat to do with some sort of cultural upbringing. But particularly in this day and age, I don't see a place for it in society, and I was really pleased to see a strong reaction from the football club and Russell Martin in particular to support Will Smallbone at the time, and that helped galvanise fans behind the player and the club. And I really feel that is an example of the cliche, I know, but whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, or just being stronger after coming through a tough experience altogether. I've talked to Ray about this, and I know that he feels the same way as me. If you're not a football fan, it's important to understand how most fans feel about this. We don't want to be associated with that kind of behaviour, and we don't want to be tarred with the same brush. More trivially, when people throw around aspersions about football and football players diving, this is also something that most football fans don't want to see, if not all. But unfortunately, these things are part of football. Most aspects of culture have their downsides, and I'd love to focus more on the positive side of what football clubs and individuals like Russell Martin are doing to deal with these kind of issues. In a way, I was really saddened to hear that Ray says he doesn't engage as much on social media because he's actually scared of being subject to that kind of treatment or attention. And the other point I was making when talking to Ray about the 15-year-old example is that 15-year-old's friends more than likely are all going to be on social media. They're going to be interacting with each other all the time, and so their posts are going to get a lot more likes and interactions, but they probably don't listen to podcasts. And if they do, they probably don't listen to podcasts from a bunch of guys pushing 40, so these interactions aren't even people that are particularly relevant to the podcast. What's more important is reaching and engaging with people that are relevant to the podcast, and that kind of calls back to us knowing our audience and segmentation. Obviously, I don't have the figures in front of me, so I'm making some assumptions here, but teenage sports fans are likely to be much more active on social media in terms of engagement and posting than the segment in their mid to late 30s, pushing 40 in my case. In fact, there's a lot of research that shows that many people in their late 30s don't post on social media at all. They're far less likely to interact with posts in terms of likes, but they may well interact with the post and click on give it a go and watch a podcast. It's all about consumer behaviour at the end of the day, so my advice to Ray and anyone else that Ray's comments may resonate with this is to really make sure you understand your audience and how they are likely to interact with any media that you put out, and to judge the success of the media on that basis. Once again, the subject of humour came up on the podcast, which is something that came up with Anna Webb and some of my other guests, and it's really important to have that entertainment factor. This even translates into the episode artwork for episodes too. If you do want to work with Ray to help out with any artwork, then drop me a line and I'll put you in touch with him. I must apologise profusely to Kev, who I called Stuart at least one point in the podcast. I have no real excuse. I'm terrible with names. Dyslexia manifests itself in so many different ways, and perhaps this is one of them, or maybe it's just a bit of my brain that's missing. I'm not the only one, Kev, but I'm sorry. And a big shout out to Tim and Tom for bringing such a great analytical element to the podcast, both with totally different perspectives, but I really love hearing their input. Like I said, Ray is so passionate about the podcast, and he says that he would record it even if no one listens, so it's a real passion project, and I do find that kind of infectious. And yes, cards on the table, I would love, love, love to interview the legend that is Nigel Adkins one day. I think he's an awesome guy. I've never met him, but I've heard so many individual stories about what a great guy he is, and similarly about Russell Martin, to be fair. Ray said he would love to interview Marianne Spacey-Kale, which I think is a great shout for an interview. I think that being a manager for a women's team is totally different to being a manager for a men's team, primarily because of where each of those competitions are at the moment. I think being a first team manager in men's football is quite a focused role on, as you'd expect, the starting squad, the tactics and the development of the first team. There are a lot more staff around to cover the additional bits. If you listen to Peter Crouch's podcast, you will hear how well looked after the first team are, to the point where they don't even have to think about things that would distract them. The women's game has come a long way recently, and Marianne Spacey-Kale has been a monumental figure in that development, particularly for Southampton Football Club. And Marianne has recently moved into an executive role within the club, and this makes me think that she must have the business acumen and strategic thinking that the role would require. And it doesn't surprise me in the least. I mean, all the structures that she would have had to put in place to pave the way for the development of the women's game, I'll happily hold my hands up and said that I wouldn't even know where to start. I think hearing about her journey would be fascinating, so I really hope that Ray does get that interview one day. And Franny Benali, what a guy. Or I should say, Francis Benali MBE, Iron Fran, as he's a machine. His work for fundraising over the years has been monumental. At Southampton Football Club, he was already a legend, but with all the additional work that he's done raising money for various charities, it's clear what a hero he actually is. He's well loved by football fans in general, not just Southampton fans. He's gone on to have a successful career as a presenter for Sky and other channels, and his daughter Kenzie has even followed him into the world of presenting. The Benalis have been family friends of my family going way back to when we were all kids and Franny was playing for Southampton. And over 10 years ago, my family organised a charity event and Franny helped us out by attending as a guest speaker. Franny and Karen were so encouraging of me, my family and everyone involved in the event, and of course giving up his time for free. I'd love to see Franny on that in that number, but selfishly I'd love to have Franny and Kenzie on Marketing Made Clear as well. I was really humbled by what Ray said in the comment to me that whatever I do will be a success, and I think that's very kind of him to say. But I totally get his advice here about being patient. And I truly do feel very passionate about marketing and helping other people to get their head around it. I think marketing is one of those things that when you do get your head around it and it clicks, you can just open up all these possibilities. And when you think about small business owners and some of the conversations that I've had with them over the years, the thing that gives me the biggest kick is to see them get that advice and just see their eyes light up and see the kind of energy that leads them to more success, trying new things and, you know, just seeing some further success. I love it. Ray makes a really good point about finding an identity and sticking to it. I think that all of us have different identities, which comes from a psychological perspective. It links to the concept of an ideal self and the different selves that people have, but that's a topic for another day. The big question is how much of my personality to put in the podcast. I mean, I'm confident about the marketing side, but I think podcasts that just focus on this are going to be really dry and hard to listen to. So I think it's a difficult balance in a way. In my personal life, I joke around quite a lot. I like to make people laugh, and I see a potential downside that people would see that I'm just diluting the marketing side by putting too much distraction into the podcast. I really love music and creating music, so I really want the podcast to be an outlet for that creativity. I've said it before, but I really do love how Ray and Kevin, and now Tim and Tom, come at the podcast from the perspective that they would do it anyway, even if nobody listened. And I think if I took the humour and took the music out, it would take out the enjoyment for me. So in a way, I think that answers my own question a little bit about what the identity is going to be of the podcast. I think the second part of that advice about finding a system or maybe a routine is only going to come over time. In an ideal world, I'd be able to generate some income into the podcast that would allow me to invest in equipment and improve the podcast. but you've got to learn to walk before you can run, Will. So finally, just please don't be starstruck by me. That's way too much of an alien concept for me to get my head around. And I just want to say once again, a massive thank you to Ray for coming on the podcast with me. And I really hope that you found it insightful and enjoyed it. And that's it. Just enjoy that lovely track one more time. Here you go.